only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. I am so excited for this episode, but I also feel a little, it's not even emotionally vulnerable. I feel a little bewildered about what we just watched. It was actually too good. I'm like a little confused. Anyway, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Summer House. And I'm so excited to have this return guest back in the Clawfest. You know her as a host, writer, and producer whose previous credits include Spotify, Decider, and Wild Opinions on this very podcast. And she herself, as a writer girl, said to say that. And I'm so appreciative for her vulnerability in that moment. So welcome back to Taking It Personally, Leah Palmieri. Leah, how are we?
Thank you and you're welcome. I am so thrilled to be back. I don't think I came with wild opinions this time, but that's not up for me to decide. So we're going to find out.
So I think we should talk about this for a second.
Let's talk about it.
Because So here's how it went. Yeah. So you have a perspective that I think is really interesting. I started that out. And here's the deal is that you have worked, you have moderated panels at BravoCon. You've had like really, you've like hung out with people who've been on, who are also known as Bravo Labs. Like you have a potentially different experience, which is influenced by a personal dynamic that you have with people. And you might also just be like optimistic in that way. And I love it.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, in conversation, certainly recently about Southern Charm, it is difficult to sort of figure out, it's not even a line, but the way to hold to the idea that like Austin isn't a piece of shit. And so I have the ability because I have distance from that. And maybe I also, even if I didn't, maybe I would think he was a piece of shit. I have no idea. I haven't gone to drinks with Ivan at his lukewarm, stale beer recently or ever. And apologies to me for not having had the pleasure of some Trop Hop. But
not bad.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's terrible. But the reality is like for you to sort of talk about not necessarily apologizing for Austin specifically's behavior, but to just say it was very, very hot on social. I don't remember if you apologized for some of his behavior.
No, and I would not dare to apologize.
Yeah, but just talking about like maybe is the anger too much that we're seeing? It did elicit a strong response from AGs and tippers, but I appreciated your perspective on that.
Yeah.
Like I might disagree with it, but that's
you
also
might?
Just lightly. But that's also to me, like as a podcaster, that's to me a strong episode because I don't want people who come in who are just like, I agree with what you're saying for an hour. That's not fun. That's not selfishly. That's not fun for me.
No. And I think that's the point of these shows, of the podcast, of all of it is to actually like, let's talk about it. Let's actually think about this and talk about it and share our opinions. And I agree with you. Even if I'm at dinner with my friends and we have differing opinions of things that we're watching, I mean, sometimes it makes me feel crazy. Like sometimes I feel like I watch it and people are like, this person is right and this person is wrong. And I feel exactly the opposite. And I'm like, what are you watching? Like, how are we watching the same thing and disagreeing so wildly? But at the same time, when you are on the same page with somebody, I do think it's, you're like, you know what? This is why I'm friends with this person.
Yeah.
They get it. We get it. But you and I are friends. Are you, okay, I'm an Aries moon. We talked about this last time.
I don't know what I am.
Well, you're an Aries.
Wait, did I miss your birthday?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, because I don't know what moon is.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm so sorry. When's your birthday?
June. I'm a Gemini.
Okay, thank God. So I have months in which to forget it. Remember 2 days later.
Plenty of time.
I'm terrible at birthdays. Okay, great.
You have time to text our mutual friend and say, did I miss it?
Shout out Tori. Okay, great.
But I think that's, it's a thing that I, there are other friends, if I had the conversations you and I have, I'd probably be annoyed with them. But you, I think it strengthens our bond and I appreciate that about us. So that's what I feel about that. But yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't apologizing for Austin. I just was saying, let's chill a little bit. Because like, what are we actually mad about? And are we getting the full picture, and are we appropriately reacting to what we're seeing is sort of all I was pointing out.
But also, do we need to be appropriate?
I try to be. I try to be. Maybe that's my problem, but
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's just a response that, like, the ways. It's not just that Bravo Labs have a vested interest in being, quote unquote, inappropriate or being elevated, but I think there's something quite nice about discussing why our reactions to certain things might be potentially triggering.
I think we can be appropriate in the way that we react. I think we can bring up our points, and I think we can definitely be calm and collected about it. And I think that's often more effective than just being like, F this guy. He's a piece of shit.
I'm okay being inappropriate. I think this is going back to our initial conversation, yeah, which people can listen to on the feed. But like, yeah, I'm okay with saying like, this person's a piece of shit. Go fuck yourself. It's also a lot easier for me to say that than for you to say it.
I think what I've learned over the last 8 years, if we not to get political, but it's just a when they go low, we go high type of mentality of like, I want to feel like I was a classy bitch. That's very important for me to be a classy bitch.
Okay, I don't think there's anything bad about going low.
I appreciate the people that go low because I wish I could go lower than I can. And on the inside, I go low, and on the outside, I don't. So the people that are fine to be out loud going low, I do have an appreciation for.
Here's the zhuzh I would make. Yeah. I don't think it's going low. I think it's being honest. If I'm like saying honestly that someone is being emotionally manipulative with somebody else on a show, or someone's just like participating in a dynamic that I think is toxic, and this isn't just about Austin, but it is Austin inclusive, I am going to be like, that person sucks. It's not about, I do myself the favor, for better and definitely for worse, of not attaching guilt to that. But which is different from like also a conversation about like, we're not going to say things. There are people who say things on social that constantly annoy me because it's like you're talking about just really inappropriate crossing lines.
Yeah.
Crossing lines to me is different from me saying someone's a piece of shit. I'm also though not, you know, I guess I'm doing it on a podcast, but I'm not like writing on their, you know, wall or whatever it's called from back in the day. I'm very young.
On their wall. Our other mutual friend, Elizabeth, consistently tells
Elizabeth. Oh my God, Elizabeth. Yeah. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm bad with birthdays and names. No, it's because we pulled from so many different
who you know.
Literally, there was someone before. I was like, I don't know them at all. And then 10 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, I love her. I'm very bad with birthdays and names.
Yeah, that was word for word, verbatim, your reaction to the person we were talking about before.
Yeah.
However,
right.
Elizabeth, who we now have jogged her memory.
Yep.
Always will like lightly laugh at me because, yes, I very much look at a lot of things through rose colored glasses. And I'm like, no, I really try to see the best in people. And I really am like, no, but they didn't mean it. And they were just drunk or whatever. Like, I really try to, I give people too many excuses to then it, you know, kicks me right in the behind. And it's like, well, you should have known. Like, again, this person showed you they were a loser and you still like gave them the benefit of the doubt.
I do that all the time. Although mine is attached to an anxiety of like, I don't want this person who doesn't deserve to hear anything from me to dislike me. So I will give them all the, because I put it on me of like, what have I done to inspire this person to behave poorly versus this person is behaving poorly. They are entirely responsible for their poor behavior. And do I want that energy in my life? Mm. I have like a consistent, which I'm working through thanks to therapy.
Amazing.
Which I highly recommend. You know, that's the process. So I do. And also, you know, like I try to be nice. So, but I think with women, we're often held to this higher standard of not being allowed to go low, that we're judged more harshly, we're a bad person. And it's like sometimes attached to the idea of femininity too, that femininity, being feminine means being nice. And I will wear a dress and stilettos and to tell you to go fuck yourself if that is in fact deserved. Like, it doesn't make me any less feminine. It doesn't make me a worse woman.
Yeah.
Not all women need to. It's like femininity is in itself a gendered construct. But I don't feel the need. I try maybe too much to work against that kind of stereotype.
Mm.
Because I think women should be allowed to express and own their rage without feeling an extra layer of shame that we don't deserve it.
I agree with that. I'm not working through it as effectively as you are.
I'm in a lot of therapy.
I applaud you.
It's very intense.
I applaud you. I'm going to bring something up here. Okay. This is going to.
This is a safe space.
Are you ready for a sort of?
This is 100% a safe space.
Another shout out to Elizabeth. So she encouraged me to watch the Smartlist documentary. Have you watched this?
Oh my god, okay. It's so good. And there was one thing that was really intense, but I forget what it was.
Yeah. So,
but it's on HBO Max. It's in black and white. Unexpected.
Yeah. It's directed by this guy Sam Jones, who's actually amazing. He's a great. He's like friends with every celebrity, and he's a really great.
You can tell.
Yeah. He's a great interviewer.
Yeah.
He used to have a show. It was called Off Camera. There's, I think, still clips on YouTube if they didn't take them down. And I recommend that too. Because he makes everybody feel like they're themselves. They're very comfortable.
Shout out to him. He does a great fucking job. Jones.
Yeah. And so I watched it's six episodes. They're like a half an hour each. And so the three guys, Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes, they do a show. They do two shows in Boston. And I'm going to get myself banished from Boston. But they do two shows in Boston. The first show, their guest is Conan O'Brien. And the second show, apologies, I forget his name. But it's a
neuroscientist.
Yeah, it's like
or
a
something.
Very smart man.
Guy
who's
from MIT.
Yes, exactly. And again, this is a 9:30 show in Boston or whatever. And the crowd starts leaving. They're booing. They're not into this. They're not feeling it. They don't know this guy. They're probably annoyed. The 7 o'clock show got Conan, whatever. And so then the guys take it very personally because they feel like the show sucked and people weren't into it. And it made me really angry. I forget why I started talking about this. It made me really angry because how many people in that audience have done a podcast, produced a show, done a live event, sat up there, booked a guest? Like, how many people have done that? And for other people to like just judge it and be mad about it, it just made me really angry because I was like, if you've not done this, then like, chill a little bit. And so I feel like that's the way I kind of feel about some of these shows because it's like, if you haven't put yourself out there in this way, and then I get that the whole point of this is for us to watch and talk about it. That's what I started by saying, is like, we're here to talk about it. But like, I just try to put myself in other people's shoes a little bit more than before I pop off. Let's put it that way.
I hear you. I'm laughing to myself while this conversation is taking place because I'm like, oh, I'm going to sound like such a fucking contrarian. But I watched that episode of this docuseries, and the whole setup of their pod is like three very famous guys who also happen to genuinely be really close friends fucking with each other. And then one on each episode, they rotate and they get to choose a guest that brings on, which is a surprise to two others. And then nobody has prepared, essentially. Yeah. And so they're just talking about whatever. But I honestly watched that episode and I thought to myself, what a bad fucking pick that was as a podcaster, not even as a podcaster, as a consumer of content. That was a bad choice. You're filming a docuseries. You're going on tour. People are expecting. I also didn't love that AOC was one of the guests either. And it's not from a political perspective. Actually, AOC was a much better pick than the person from MIT. But it's like, what is the goal here? Because you're not, it would be better if they had recorded it as a podcast episode, but they did it as a live event. People are expecting Conan, and you're filming it for HBO Max. You're having an MIT professor, and then you're upset at people who are like, I'm in Boston. I went to cocktails. I'm seeing three celebrities who I probably wouldn't necessarily have access to in this context, except for being on TV. That's 99.9% of us. And you're choosing a professor from MIT and then you're upset it was a bad choice. It was a bad choice. They did have the right to be dragged. People don't need to say like, you know, you're whatever, but I would be upset. And then to find out Conan was right before.
I've come around a bit on this because, yes, I do get it. I agree with everything you just said. But if you were going to go to that show, why would you be going to that show? Are you going to see Conan? No, you're going to see the three of them.
You're hearing about Conan. The next fucking show is AOC, who is a star. Like, regardless of how you feel about her politics, she is a celebrity. She has become a genuine celebrity. And Bradley Cooper comes out, and then fucking Matt Damon's in Nebraska. Like, it's It's you're not expecting a, you guys, we have a big show. It's a professor from MIT. Like, they're not interested, nor would I be, in having the conversation that you would be if it was on the pod. It's a live event.
Yes, this is all, this is very fair.
You're talking about, like, and I love brains.
You're talking about AI and stuff.
No, absolutely not. Bring out a robot. Honestly, bring out a robot Elon Musk, which is also known as Elon Musk. Like, just have a robot puppy. Get Amazon Prime delivery. Isn't that the whole future of robots?
Or I'm into that.
Have the voice of Wally or somebody from Disney or Pixar or whatever the fuck.
The point of this cartoons. Is, the point of this, what I'm trying to say is, again, and I would say everybody listening now is listening to hear exactly your point of view on this. They don't care what I'm saying.
100% they're going to disagree with me.
So I think they're going to agree with you. But I also think that it's just, I just get frustrated when the effort is disregarded. And I think it's going to tie into Summer House, too, because I want to talk about a few things that have happened recently on this show. When there's growth, maybe not enough growth. And again, this was what got us into this spin last time.
Where are we going?
But like, I just applaud people who are growing even in baby steps. And I think that is...
I'm so scared for you.
I'm
scared for how I'm going to react to what it is that you're about to say. I don't know.
I just think it's like never enough for people. And that's what makes me annoyed about it.
Who are we talking about? Because the way you're introducing this with an element of quiet.
I want to give a... Do you want to talk about this, why I'm tying this to Summer House?
I do. And I also want to say, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, watching something that was almost upsetting to me. You know, I watch Vanderpump Rules. I watch the VPR after show. And, you know, I'm watching The Valley Chew. But the fucking after show for Summer House, I don't know if that was the first time they've done it.
I was going to ask you that. Had they done this in previous series?
No idea. But they're doing it now because they know what they have with the all things Lindsay and Carl. It was intense. Yeah. It's a two-parter. It's on YouTube. It's under Bravo's account. And, you know, they're kind of inconsistent on which franchises get after shows. Yeah. So I don't know if they've done this previously. I might have watched every episode previously. I just honestly don't remember, much like several names of people I have known for 15 plus years or whatever. But it's really, really good. So I highly recommend anyone who wants to watch people talk more deeply about their experiences being on Summer House and also some breaking fourth wall stuff. It's great.
I am interested in the strategy behind some of this, too, because I feel like we're seeing this with both Summer House and Vanderpump. We're like, okay, so we have an hour show each week. Then we have an additional 40 minutes of an after show, because I believe Vanderpump did a two-part after show.
Yeah, there's usually like 20 to 30 plus in totality.
Yeah. And so we're getting but I'm like, is there not enough space in the show to fit all this? Are we waiting to have some distance from it to, you know, do the after show? I'm sure they, you know, taped it probably within the last couple months or so. Are we just hungry for all this content? Are we going to be lacking at the reunion because we're hearing these thoughts in real time? Like, I don't know. I don't have a solution or a problem or any of that. But I'm just like, this is interesting that there is so much going on here that, like, we can't fit it into an episode and that we all have to dissect it for 40 minutes after.
Well, it wouldn't work in the context of an episode because these people have already filmed the entire season. So it's like they can't react to someone's behavior when they don't know what's going to happen next week. Now they can. And there are times where an after show will feel better than aired episodes, and that can be really difficult because then I'm like, what the fuck are we doing when the A-team is going on YouTube? What are we watching on Show Classic? But with this, it's a genuine, it's a great pairing. It feels really right, and it feeds the beast. So it's like, Bravo Leb's going to react to something someone else says when they're guesting on another podcast to promote the show, like what we're seeing with Lala and Katie, which we'll get to on another deep dive. But in the meantime, it feeds the beast, which can lead into the reunion. So I think when done successfully, and sometimes that's according to luck, it can lead up to an even more interesting reunion because it includes all of these different kind of
there's a lot of it out there because I think what you'll start to see at the reunion too is more of like, not just, well, you said this on Watch What Happens Live, but it's like, well, you said this on this podcast and you said this on the after show. And like, there's so many other places to choose from rather than just the 40 minutes we get each
and
week.
It requires a lot of the consumer, of the viewer to be like, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that episode of the Vile Files. So it's like, I didn't have an extra 90 minutes, which I
missed it?
I mean, there's so much other ways to access these people's opinions that then that becomes difficult because it's like, where's my study guide? You know, like, how much of my time do I need to devote to this? Oh, all my time? Okay, that's fine. But like, it becomes a little, it's an effort.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a lot of time now. So like, I'm like,
I got all the time. Yeah. I got no time this week because I have 18 different birthday events. But I got, oh, I have to talk to you about a cake after this.
Okay, great.
Gluten-free vegan moment. Can we go back, though, to the take that you were leading us
up
to?
Okay. So
what's the ginger step that is being taken?
I just appreciate growth is like really where I feel like I'm always coming from.
Who are we talking about?
The conversation that Kyle and Lindsay have at the bar.
Not where I thought you were going.
There's a lot of growth everywhere. Everywhere. I wouldn't say there's any degrowth in this episode.
We're never ever gonna agree.
No.
We will.
For Kyle to not drunkenly, I don't think he was inebriated yet, to pull Lindsay aside and have that conversation, I felt was very, and even Lindsay's reaction, I'm gonna give her a little bit of credit in this space where she started to get a little activated by the end of it, but I thought that it was a very mature conversation that the two of them had, and we don't see the two of them having a ton of mature conversations just about the status of her and Carl and how Carl's feeling and how she's feeling and all that, and like it coming from Kyle, I just felt like it was it just felt like, huh, I've not really seen these two interact like this before.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, I know. We're both surprised at that. No, 100%. And I think it's difficult with Kyle and Lindsay's relationship because there is a certain level of like friction between them that will always exist.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately what we're seeing from the guys right now, from everybody, I don't mean to just like praise the men in this dynamic, but it is interesting because I think the casting has been so strong that we can see that influence and the fact that I think the guys are being, I think that they're trying to be as respectful as possible in saying, are we sure about this? And so are Amanda and Paige.
Yes.
I don't know that Amanda and Paige are getting the full spectrum here, but I also think they have opinions that are deserved, like of Lindsay's upset around the ways that, that Carl hasn't figured out what he wants to do with his life. Like there's underlying tension that they understand and are sharing with Lindsay as a way to be like, we support you, we get what's going on. And also the guys being like, we get what's going on, are we sure we still want this wedding to take place
in a space where it could be the most divided it's ever been? It's the most united it's ever been, where I feel like the girls are, I've never seen Amanda and Paige be there for Lindsay, listen to Lindsay, accept her in a lot of ways, feel for her in a lot of ways, for Paige to admit, like, I'm team Lindsay on this. Like, I was like, what? Like, we've never heard that before. And I think they could have been super judgmental, super catty. Like, there's none of that. And yeah, I think the guys also are like, they really are understanding when to shut up and like literally just not insert themselves. I think everyone's kind of seeing the writing on the wall and they're kind of backing away from it and trying their best to be supportive friends while also letting Lindsay and Carl kind of like figure it out for themselves.
Okay, we'll circle back to that because that is like the meat and potatoes of this season. But just like a real quick question. Do you think that Kyle and Amanda should have gotten married? Because we're skipping ahead to the present. But like, can we focus on the past?
Well, so,
which is also the present.
Again, I don't remember. This was in the show, I believe, and not the after show. But Amanda talking about what she gave up for her, like with her job and how hard she was working and all of that. I just don't know that I do really think that there is a love between them. And I think that there is a synergy of like, I do think they like working together because we don't see them like really a ton bickering about work stuff, is certainly in the way that we saw Kyle and Carl do it before. And so I do think they make a good team in whatever way that might be. I think the show chooses to focus on, you know, there was a moment where he like put his arm around her waist and she kind of like just moved out of the way and like didn't respond with a kiss or any sort of affection back. We see her storming away and I'm really mad and him saying, what the F and all that. We see those moments. It's probably pretty boring. The way that they actually love each other. Should they have gotten married is a different question. I root for them. Yeah, like that's the
just
opposite.
Just say what you, how you, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to imply that you're not saying how you feel, but I feel like you're around it a little bit.
I think that they are, I think Lindsay and Carl are seeing like, you know, we should be on really steady ground when we get married. And I think Amanda and Kyle are probably looking back going, we weren't on the steadiest ground when we got married, but we are really working on that now. Like, so I think like when they got married, were they ready? Maybe not. Are they now? I think they understand the magnitude of it. And I think they want to be married to each other. That's what I think. I think they really want to be married to each other. And so, whereas I think what we're saying with Lindsay and Carl's, they just want to be married. And I don't know if the to each other part is as big of a factor. So I think Kyle and Amanda also do a thing for us, which is we see them bicker. And guess what? Do you know any people that are married that don't? Because I don't. And so I think that there's something to that. Now, that opens them up to so much judgment. But at the same time, it's like, if you were married to Kyle, how much would you be bickering with? probably as much as we see, certainly. And so I think that just like their love is boring because I think it's just solid. And so we just don't see it. But I root for them.
I feel like with Kyle, it feels like he feels like he deserves to have Amanda at all times to a certain extent. And I just think with their like work stuff and lover boy, she doesn't want to do it anymore or in the same way she did. It doesn't necessarily mean she was wrong to leave her job, regardless of how she's positioning it now. I just think leave lover boy. You didn't sign a lifetime contract to this job, even though you got married to this man. He should be supporting her if she wants to leave. We understand he's an entrepreneur, but like she also is herself. Why is she being forced to condition herself into this being like her one passion in life? Can't she support him in like, why is there a situation and a dynamic where she has to do this thing with him forever, as opposed to he needs to stand on his own 2 feet and find someone he's not married to help him with like the graphic design and stuff.
Yeah. I think because the two of them are so close, there's a shorthand there. So for him, it's very comfortable to have her be the one that's doing stuff, that's doing the graphic design, whatever, that's, you know, consulting, adding her opinion, blah, blah, blah. If Barbara comes into the job, then he can't tell Barbara, nah, I don't really like that. I mean, he can, obviously, and he will. But like, I think it's you're both able to more easily and more harder, which is English.
You did it.
Give criticism because of your relationship with that person. I think from my perspective, Loverboy is now at a level where like, you know, it's we're at Sir level here. We're like, nobody is waiting the tables anymore. Like she can certainly step back from the graphic design and do nothing or do something else or whatever. I think another thing that is important to keep in mind that I've seen with my married friends is that when they get married and when they have children, they really sort of lose their sense of self in a lot of ways. And Amanda could be going through a little bit of that where they're just like, well, who am I? Like, what do I like to do when it's not just waiting on Kyle or feeding the dogs or whatever? And so she could just be sort of having that moment where she's like, well, what does actually make me happy and what do I want to do? And so I think it's, I don't know if she fully knows She might know it's not Loverboy, but I don't know if she knows what the next step is. And sometimes it's easier to walk away from Loverboy and be like, I don't want to do this because I do want to pursue this. And I would hope and think that he would be supportive of what she wanted to do. He's also an entrepreneur in the way where he's thinking, like, I can sit here and say, Loverboy is successful enough, you can hire another graphic designer. He is probably like, we're not quite there. I want to hit this sales number and I want to hit this many markets. Like, he's thinking about it much more critically than someone like me from the outside is. And he will want her support inside and outside from it. But that's just me.
I'm sure there's a financial aspect, but also the way that he's looking at success and sort of using it against his wife a little bit. I don't mean for that to sound as critical as the way it just came out of my mouth, but there is this thing of like, you don't get the reward until we hit a certain amount of growth versus him saying, I don't want to be as frenetic and all over the place when, if and when we expand our family. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to a position where we're a little bit more comfortable. But you see that in conversations with a lot of folks on Housewives, very different contexts, very different like financial power, but with like Mauricio and Kyle, the idea that when I get to a certain point with the agency, I'll be able to scale back. Sometimes folks don't want to scale back. Yeah. Sometimes it's about scaling more and more. So, yeah.
And he's somebody who I think he's not going to be satisfied. He is an entrepreneur and a businessman. And he's not going to be like, great, we hit this number, so I'm going to only work 3 days a week. He's not going to be like that, even if he thinks he is in his mind. The one thing I will say, though, where I think he's wrong and he knows better than I do in this. If today Amanda was like, I'm pregnant, I would not worry about them being parents. I do think they're ready to be parents, where I know he feels like they're not. I think they are. I think of certainly other Bravo couples we've watched have children together. I think those two are in a pretty good place. Like, I think they, I'm not pressuring them. I think do what is right for you. But like, from what I've seen from them, I don't worry about them being ready to have kids. I think they're there if they don't even realize they're there.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Waves Anti-Frizz Cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Waves' other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Waves. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
But he's so, like, sloppy at points. Not to say, there's the idea, I think, especially for folks, certainly myself included, who don't have kids, of, like, what it means to be a parent and the idea of the maturity that ideally has taken place before that happens. But that's not realistic for a lot of people. A lot of people are, you know, dealing with whatever process they're dealing with in life and, like, figuring themselves out and having kids. Like, there's this goal that sometimes people have of, once this thing happens, it's going to force me to mature. And the reality is that oftentimes that doesn't take place. But with Kyle, I'm like, how many episodes of him just being a drunk ass mess do I need to, how much of that is because he's on this show versus that's just who Kyle is?
Yeah.
That would be tough to have as a parent, if I feel like I need to be worrying about this grown man when I also am dealing with young kids.
Okay. In all of the Bravo Labs I have come into contact with, when people ask me, like, who's the best one? It's Kyle. Kyle's, I don't know that I've met another one with their shit together as much as Kyle. He's actually very smart. He's always on time. He's prepared. He goes with the flow. He's nice to everybody. Like, professionally, he's the best and easiest one I've ever worked with.
I don't disagree with that. I think he's, like, on his shit, and this is why, one of the reasons why he's been successful. But I'm in the bubble of Summer House,
yeah,
with these people going to the Summer House,
yeah,
on the weekends. It's hard. It's hard to kind of calibrate all of that, because that's the benefit of, like, that's super, super fourth wall stuff.
Yeah, but I think he's in that bubble. And I think when he shows up in the Hamptons, that's when he's really cracking the lover boys, and when he's really sending it or letting it loose or whatever, however you want to, you know, call it. I think there is a safety of, like, oh, I can party now because that is my job.
And a regression, definitely.
Like, it's my job now to be drunk. And so I'm going to be. And it's my job to get in a disagreement with my wife. And it's my job to make sure somebody's face gets cut up by their sunglasses.
Oh my God.
Like, do you know what I mean?
Poor,
like,
West. I didn't realize it was that bad.
It was bad.
And it was, like, bleeding. I was like, oh my God, this sweet man. They broke West.
They broke him.
You can never break West. He's too pure.
No, yeah, that's
true. He's too
pure. Yeah. But I think it's Kyle doing what he knows he's supposed to do. Like, what? That's the reason he's there. The reason he's there is not to be mature. Monday through Thursday, I think he puts his businessman hat on. And Friday through Sunday, I think he lets that mullet fly.
And that has to be difficult for him and Amanda, assuming that is what takes place, because we actually don't know that. So it's like, for Amanda, is it really Monday through Friday? She's potentially becoming exhausted by this man who's running 24/7. And on the weekends, alcohol is in the mix, or is alcohol in the mix all the time? We don't know. We're giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here, that his behavior is so, so different in filming Summer House on the weekends than it is during the week. We don't actually know that, which is different from doing press.
Yeah. But I also think, again, the disagreement that they get in about him bringing that up, bring the Jesse Solomon stuff up at the table, she was mad about something else, because Paige wasn't mad about it. And you know, Paige said this. Amanda was mad about something else. Kyle, that is the most typical Kyle behavior I've ever seen. Craig laughed it off. Jesse Solomon laughed it off. Like, it was like not wrong of him to bring up, certainly. It's definitely in the grand scheme of the drama, but like, why Amanda reacted in the way she did, I don't know. Because I don't think Kyle brought that up because he was drinking. I think he would have brought it up stone cold sober because, like, he knows, like, we got to address this. And so, I don't think he's like a Jekyll and Hyde situation by any means, but I think he knows when to turn it up and when to turn it down.
I think he was producing in that moment.
Yeah.
I think it was typical housewives group event dynamic. Someone has to bring up the thing that might lead to conflict, which doesn't take away from Amanda being like, why did you have to do this right now? I feel like you're embarrassing me. And then what is underneath it is the real, real.
Yeah.
That's the real, real.
She's embarrassed by other things he's talking about, whatever. And I think the thing that I'll give him credit for is I think he produces himself in the situations more than we even realize. Like, I do think he's pretty slick about it, because I think he just gets the way that it works. Now it crosses a line when it's personal and you're talking about, I don't think we're ready for kids and stuff. That's going to hurt Amanda, obviously, because whether she agrees or not, it's like, oh, my husband saying that. But I also think he understands that to be a relatable conversation to have.
Mm-hmm. To pivot a little bit, but to stay on this conversation topic, the idea of how should a person change, if at all, what the expectation is when committing in a relationship is, to me, really fascinating. And I was struggling during the after show and on the episode in trying to understand Lindsay's perspective of, like, but I also completely understand it, of like, this man is telling me he's expecting me to change. Why can't he meet me where I am? Which I get, like, I understand what she's saying, versus I'm engaging in really unhealthy behaviors and I should want to do that. I should want to change rather from that, LOL, not continue it. I should want to change my behavior because it's affecting my partner in a way that is unhealthy. Because I think there's a difference in, like, the way she's positioning some of this. It feels manipulative on a subconscious level. I don't know how much of it is her actively making that choice, but it's so, to me, it's just genuinely inherently toxic. And I am also acknowledging she has valid right to be upset at him about the job stuff, about the career stuff, about the fact that maybe he can be like, he can't stand in a certain position. I also think there's a lot of anger about sex, the fact that he's saying they fucked like twice this summer, which, again, this is the difficulty of, was it on the after show or the episode, but like, that's a significant issue in a romantic partnership that is important to intimacy if both people want it. It sounds like she wants that connection, and maybe as a reaction to what they're experiencing in the relationship, or maybe that's just not how he is in a relationship, that's a real disconnect. So noting all of that and an understandable reason why she's upset, the way that she is positioning her behavior right now makes me uncomfortable.
What I'm not clear on is, like, what exactly is she saying he wants her to change?
I think what she's saying in some ways is, like, he's not giving me grace. But she's also saying that her responses are right. And that's tough. It feels like she is not apologizing for her behavior. She's projecting it onto him and then challenging his upset when she does that and using that as an example of him being toxic. And I'm not saying that it's like Carl is like God's gift to partners, because I haven't been in a partnership with him. But I'm not yet, but I'm only seeing growth from him and like stunted behavior and everything. I'm acknowledging that, but he's like working on himself. He was offering to go to anger management classes because he was so invested in wanting to make sure his partner felt safe and also wanting to work on himself.
Yeah.
I don't see that at all from Lindsay.
No.
At all. She shouldn't have to take responsibility for his behavior, but it's her behavior.
Yeah.
In the middle of a lot of this.
Yeah. It's... there were a few seasons where I was like, Carl is so unnecessary on the show. Like, I just had no use for him on Summer House. And the last couple, you've seen the change. You know what? You have really seen it. And I think he's made a lot of really important steps for his life, and that should be commended for sure. Is this relationship one of them? Ooh. I mean, obviously we know not, but it's the bottom line where, like, I do feel for Lindsay is she's not feeling secure and comfortable in this relationship.
Agree.
And I feel for her on that, because if she wants to feel loved and sexy and safe and all of the things that you should in a relationship, that sucks to not and to be planning a wedding at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that confusion of like, ugh. But yeah, it's really hard to watch the way she throws his weed use in his face. When he, again, because of the growth, is approaching it in a, he's really trying to be calm. He's really trying to sort of like acquiesce as much as he can to what she's saying. He's trying to listen. He's trying to understand. But at the same time, to be questioned about that by her, and I'm not quite sure why. Again, it's coming back to she's not feeling comfortable in this relationship and she's not sure why. It's hard to see her do that, because I don't think she means to. I hope she doesn't mean to throw the sobriety in his face in the way that she sort of has been in the last few episodes.
I think she does. I don't mean that in a way that's critical of her, in like me like harshly judging her, but I think she means exactly what she's saying. I really do think she does, but she just, her positioning around it is like totally different. And then she, you know, talks about the fact that he just wants to be with someone who doesn't drink, and that's not fair to her. And the reality is, like, maybe he should be with someone who isn't binge drinking to the extent that she is. Like, it's just one of the many examples why they shouldn't have gotten married. Mm-hmm. Their dynamic and their environments and their normals are in direct opposition of each other.
Yeah.
And so when she says he's like expecting me to do these things and that's not fair, I can appreciate that. But I also think he just should not be with someone who is using alcohol as a way to, like, it's not even processing like anger and upset, but as a way to communicate it. That's not, I don't think that's healthy for anyone.
No.
I don't think that you should be treating alcohol as a truth serum, because I don't think that alcohol is honest. I don't. I don't think that drinking alcohol is going to enable me to do this great thing. I don't look at alcohol that way. Mm. I don't look at like alcohol as like, I need this thing to enable me to process this other stuff from a day-to-day perspective.
Right.
I'm not like mad at alcohol, but if you are depending on that in a way that you can't remember or refuse to access, that's not healthy behavior to me. That's not behavior that I want to connect with.
No, and I also think, I don't mean to sound judgy or dismissive in any way, but I do think the thing here is, like, if she was chugging rosé as a means to relax and then just go to bed, that's one way of using alcohol that, like,
a lot of people might potentially do.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if that's the way she was using it, that's a different story than having rosé and then getting in a yelling match and comparing it to Carl's weed use. I'm guessing Carl uses weed to chill and go to sleep or relax or whatever. She's using alcohol in a very different way. And so that's why, I mean, that's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why those two uses can't really be compared.
Here's the thing I'm going to say that's really unfair, but it is how I believe. It's like she's sort of using alcohol against him a little bit, because her behavior when she is drinking, because I do think alcohol reveals a lot of behaviors that people, in the way that I'm saying it's not honest, I'm saying like I don't attach good morality to someone who chooses to binge drink. It's just a choice that you make. I don't think better or worse of of that decision. You know, like you do whatever, that's completely your responsibility. That's,
yeah.
But when that behavior affects another person and you are using it as an excuse to hurt another person, maybe you're also doing that when you're not drinking, which is still an issue, but like it reveals stuff. And that person, especially if they're not drinking, is going to have the memory of it. So when you then decide that that memory is inaccurate or that person is lying, and you either don't remember how you were behaving when you were drunk or you don't care, and like it's just going to be your reality and nothing else, like that's significantly toxic behavior to me.
Yeah. Because I think he's sort of said, like, it's not the drinking that I'm mad at, it's the way she
treats me.
Yeah, after she has. And so, like, after he smokes, is he then yelling and being mean and accusing you of things? Like, no, like, those are two very different reactions to what you're using to soothe yourself. And, you know, I think the other part of this is, you know, certainly alcohol and drugs and all that stuff is a serious part of this. Like, bottom line, like, I'm afraid for the rest of the season that it's just going to be sad, because I feel sad watching this relationship crumble. Well, it needs to, because like this is not serving anybody. I also don't want it to be like, it's not like fun in the way where it's like, yeah, Carl, you're right. And like, or yeah, Lindsay, like you go. Like, it just feels like, oh, this sucks watching these two people like not communicate well with each other this severely and how they're hurting each other intentionally or otherwise.
It's, I feel relief in watching it of like, thank God they didn't fucking get married. And it is curious to me that my initial instinct when they split, because they were just, I love you, babe, whatever else, was like, oh my God, poor Lindsay, because of the camera crew, because it was right after her bridal shower, because of everything else. Like, I still obviously feel empathy for her in that. Maybe it's not obvious, but I do definitely feel empathy for her in that. But this is so not a blindside at all. And I'm concerned that she's watching these episodes and is very secure in her behavior because he broke up with her, or secure in her behavior because she is. Like, I'm not watching Lindsay's behavior. I, like, if you're in a relationship with someone and you're getting married to them and you're not fucking for many months, at one point, Carl says in the after show, it was like 8 or 9 months that they weren't having sex. Which the math isn't mathing, because I don't know how long they were dating before they got engaged and how long they were together before they broke up. But that's a significant, that would be a significant challenge for me in a partnership with someone if we are not being physically intimate and there is not a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Like, there might be reasons, you might be going through challenges, but you need to talk about that and figure out a way to remain intimate in some way, or figure out a way to ensure that both partners in that relationship are feeling like comfortable, safe, committed. And I can't stop using the word intimate, but like that's a, to me, that's a huge aspect of being in a romantic relationship with someone, is like the sex of it all.
Totally.
And so if she does not feel like he wants pleasure, or to give her pleasure, or to receive pleasure, that's a really big challenge. But I also wonder how much of that is attached to like, I don't want to be physically intimate right now. Maybe he just has a low sex drive and like, that's, it is what it is. And then be in a relationship with someone where that's, you know, you guys are both comfortable in that, God bless. But how much of that also is like his body being like, I don't want this dynamic right now. He doesn't feel like an angry sex kind of guy to me.
I think, you know, I think it's hard to necessarily compare them to Paige and Craig, who apparently can't keep their hands off of each other, which
and is God bless wonderful them for that. Them.
Wonderful
oh,
for them.
Oh, my God.
I will say, in that after show, I thought she looked amazing. I thought the outfit choice was excellent. I mean, she rarely misses, but I really...
She's risen so fucking high in my book. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Well, it's unbelievable.
What I pointed out to you, that I think the biggest point And the best point that she made was, yeah, when the cameras are on and the lights are on, it has to feel so awesome to be like, oh my God, this is my person and they're capturing it. It's being documented. We can show our future children. Like, this is so glorious to have our love story be part of this show. And she was saying they were addicted to that part and not the part where, like, they go home.
Lindsay and Carl.
Yeah. You go home and you have the conversations about money and substances or whatever. And, you know, again, there's few people who can have that perspective better than her. And I think that that's really smart. And the other thing that Lindsay and Carl have both sort of said on Watch What Happens or wherever is they both had marriage as the goal. I think that was I think it's a thing that a lot of people deal with where it's like, I want to be married. Lindsay has been saying that since the first day we ever met her on this show. And I think this is not a judgment because it's incredibly common. And again, you sort of get wrapped up in like, oh my God, my person was like my best friend. He was under my nose this whole time. Like, you know, that's a very, I don't want to say convenient, but it's a common thing, I think, for a lot of people. And so they were seeing the aisle and the flowers and they were seeing that marriage as the goal. And I think the person who was standing there with them, the face might be a little bit blurry. And so it was easy to slot each other in there and be like, this is it. We're doing this and I'm getting married. And that was the buzz that I think that they were both sort of on and chasing of like, I'm getting married, not I'm spending my life with Lindsay or with Carl and sort of having that perspective of things, too. Now, again, that's just me. My opinion, but like, I do think I don't judge either of them for maybe being a little misguided in the goal because I think it's so common and I couldn't say that I wouldn't do the same.
Yeah. They have this like storybook happily ever after situation happening, but I mean, I'm so less concerned about the after than I am about what does happy mean?
Yeah.
Like, what's your version of happy? If this is your version of normal and it's not the other person's version of normal, because they might find someone who is, if they in fact do want to have a partner at some point after this, they might find someone who relishes in some of their instincts and behavior, whose idea of growth is a match with each other. And I don't know how healthy that is depending, but that's not on me to decide. Like, you get to make the choice of who you are going to be with, if anyone, and who you are going to be while with that person.
Yeah.
And sometimes that does change. Like, I just, it's tough watching Lindsay refuse to see what feels very clear to a lot of people who are in that dynamic, who I don't think have a vested interest in dragging her. Like, I don't think Jesse Solomon, and shout out to first name, last names, because I'm Sarah Galley. Mm-hmm. A lot of people call me Galley. Like, I am a first name, last name. So he is Jesse Solomon. But like, I do think that Jesse Solomon and West, I do think neither of them have a vested interest in dragging or destroying Lindsay. But I also think, and I also think not, but that people in this dynamic are seeing a really, really unhealthy cycle. And it's like Lindsay looks at an unhealthy cycle and is like, why do you judge me?
Yes. Yes.
And that is so tough to watch because I don't know how Lindsay has grown. Like, how have we grown from you don't make sandwiches?
Yeah.
Like, not all, that wasn't her, so many aspects of that wasn't her fault, but like, how has she grown? And why am I assuming that growth is a goal? Like, that's something that I'm really passionate about in my life, for better and worse, is like trying to understand my behavior, other people's behavior, process it, figure out boundaries and all of that. That's like a huge part, genuinely, of my life. And also my form of curiosity is in talking about this. I genuinely like talking about people's behavior, people I have relationships with in real life, and people I have, what is it, parasocial, whatever the fuck that is, like the TV of it all, like my relationship to their feelings, and not vice versa, but like understanding
They care very much about your feelings and your growth, Sarah Galley.
I mean, hello. But like trying to understand and figure out that all is genuinely something that I like, I enjoy doing, even though it can be very, very tough at points.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I am projecting onto Lindsay the idea that she wants to grow from this and evolve and take responsibility. Because I'm not seeing a lot of examples of that in the press stuff and in other stuff, but also she can't stop saying she worked in PR for many, many years. She's very, gave me eyes. She's very smart. She's interesting. She's charismatic. I never want her to leave Bravo. Keep her on this forever and ever. Amen. But like the way that she positioned this breakup and her being a victim of this is so tough because that so closely matches how she's behaving with Carl like the next day with everything that we're watching play out. So it's not even like she was just going on a press tour. I think this is how she lives her life. Yeah. And like, where are the pieces that I'm missing? Where's the like, this is a bad edit conversation? Or is, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's that kind of like pushback? Because I don't think it's a bad edit. I think it's just reveal.
Lindsay is the Larry David of the Bravo world.
Wow, that's...
Has Larry David ever grown on Curb Your Enthusiasm? No, we wouldn't have the show if Larry was a person who ever grew.
But Larry owns that he's a mess. Lindsay doesn't.
But Larry...
Larry owns that he's a curmudgeon. He's like, he's a curmudgeon.
But he is always the victim of other people's foolishness. And she has that same mentality. And Larry doesn't want to grow. And I can't speak for Lindsay. I don't see the signs of her wanting to grow. I think one of the things about her, why she works so well, is that she has the conviction of like, she is in the right. She is acting how she feels best. And I don't know that we've ever heard her say on the show, you're right, I was wrong. It is usually other people are wronging her. And so I just think you're right about the growth thing. That's up to her, and that is her journey. And however she wants to go on that journey, I wish her the absolute best. But yeah, I don't know if she wants to grow. I think she feels really confident in who she is and how she behaves. And there's not a lot of introspection about other ways of approaching things. So I think that's why, that's why she is who she is on the show and the way that Larry is on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's interesting. I also think with the Lindsay of it all, it's tough because I don't want to slip into, speaking of like stereotypes and like whatever, like, oh, she was just too demanding or anything else. But
no.
But I also don't feel the need to be like, girl power, I'm going to avoid all aspects of your toxic behavior, which also is a toxic cycle of like, that's, that's really tough too. I wonder how Danielle is going to be able to talk about this stuff on the reunion. And I also, it's not her fault because it's just the positioning and the dynamics on the show, but I would love to see Gabby interact with more people than Lindsay. But I know that Lindsay also, we can't have it all be everyone against Lindsay.
Yeah.
So in that dynamic, it's good that they have like an organic friendship. But I'm also like, Gabby, you're too smart for this at points. Like, and maybe she didn't have that information at the time when we're watching this after show because it's the two of them paired together. But like,
I have no interest in piling on Lindsay because like, again, a canceled wedding and engagement and relationship, that sucks. That sucks. And I feel bad and I don't want to be like, well, what'd you expect? Like, that sort of mentality gets no one anywhere. And so I want the best for her. And I also am of the mind that like, if what Lindsay wants and needs in a relationship might seem demanding or too high for others or whatever, that's not my problem. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be in the relationship with her. What she wants in a relationship is what she wants, and I hope she finds it. And she hasn't yet in what we're watching, but like, I don't want to judge what one person feels they deserve in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's
she deserves to be. Everybody just, I mean, most yeah. people, not everybody, but like a lot of people deserve yeah. to be in happy,
yeah.
healthy relationships with someone who is a genuine support. And hopefully they feel a responsibility to share that same like positive. And it's not yeah. just like happy-go-lucky, like to just have someone who is a partner when you're going through challenges. Yeah. That's what you want at the end of the day. It's not the like love bombing style yeah, honeymoon yeah. period, which can also can certainly feel nice. It's the like, what happens when shit hits the fan? Who is this person going to be for you? I am sure that she is a lion and a warrior for her friends. Like,
yeah,
you want Lindsay in your corner. Yeah. She can be like genuinely really supportive. But also, how does she treat you and how do you treat each other when things aren't going well? That's the thing that Danielle is saying. Like,
yeah.
when we were not doing well, she treated me in a way I thought she would have had more respect in how we were fighting. She went for the lowest possible bar
yeah.
and like dragged me to hell. I thought that we could have some sort of conversation where I'm not being treated like someone that she yeah. hates, even if we are really opposed in thinking or opinion. And mm-hmm. that's the thing that Carl and Lindsay are struggling with too, is that like, you know, all's fair in love and war is a great idea, but it's of course not.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how to disassociate with like the morality attached to that is, I think, a difficulty for Lindsay or for people in her life.
Yeah. As we were talking about this, like, could you imagine Summer House with, like, imagine Lindsay is in a relationship where people are making her sandwiches and like, and she feels loved, supported, comforted, secure. Like, I would love to see that, Lindsay. Like, I would love to see what that looks like, because I do think she would be life of the party. I think she would probably show up as a good friend to others around her if she wasn't feeling like her back was against the wall or any of that. Like, I would love to see, like, what is actually a content Lindsay like?
But that's difficult because that puts so much of the responsibility on the other person to make sure she's okay. I don't know what yeah. I don't know what like comfort and happiness looks like to Lindsay, because it feels like there's a cost on another person in a way that I don't love. And then she's having conversations about the fact that Carl only wants her to be happy. And I'm like, wait a second. But that big fucking fight, which led to the first time you called him Cocaine Carl, was because he wanted to go home and he was fine and you didn't believe him. Mm. So how it feels yeah. like every time we're watching this behavior and it's Lindsay sort of doing some sort of cosplay of like her being the recipient of behaviors that she has exhibited with and against Carl. Mm. So for Lindsay to be happy, I don't know what happy means for Lindsay, but yeah. right now we're just seeing, like, she does deserve to be with someone who wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
She deserves yeah. to be with someone where they have a healthy sex life in the way that she views health. She deserves to be with someone who has more confidence, potentially, is not at the point in his life, but everybody can be at that point. It just takes a bad day. You know what I'm saying? Like, opportunities are available and then they're not. So it's like with Lindsay saying, with Carl not having direction in his life, that's different from having a job. Carl doesn't have direction in his life. I want her to be with someone who does. Mm-hmm. She's very confident. Mm-hmm. She shifted from PR. She's now doing influencing and content creation. She deserves to be with someone who's, I don't know, maybe more of a Kyle, to be honest. Like, maybe she deserves to be with someone who's a serial entrepreneur and is really passionate and is really driven and is very communicative about that. This is just obviously, for 8 different reasons, a really, really bad fucking yeah. fit. But I don't know, because the difficulty is, like, all that being said, how is Lindsay in a fight? How is she going to fight with that person? Yeah. You have to be able to manage yourself.
Yeah.
People are human. People make mistakes. But you have to be able to manage how low you go yeah. in fights, because you're going to do a lot of fighting. That's yeah. just the reality of life. Things are going to happen. You're going to have to figure out how to play fair.
What,
or acknowledge when you don't.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Like, I can be taking some accountability. Dick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes, never. And sometimes that person, sometimes we're going to have a moment after, if I'm being a dick to a person, where I'm taking responsibility for my actions. And sometimes it's just going to be, I'm taking responsibility with myself. Mm. You know, like, I don't see that Yeah. No. Ideally, in a world, I feel like Lindsay taking responsibility, which makes me really nervous for her at the reunion, because I think she's going to be surrounded by people who've watched the show.
Whoa. I wanted to ask you what you thought about Carl skipping the Friday night out, because I thought in the after show, like, you know, the Jesse Solomon and West of it all, of them being like, you don't want to spend time with your fiance. But I also sort of see, which, you know, again, there's a much bigger problem than just Fridays mm-hmm. on the calendar. But I also saw that as Carl saying, what can I do? How can I make any sense of this? And like, how can I even just try to make this work? Like, what is he's grasping, obviously, but mm-hmm. like, I saw it as a sign of him at least trying to say, maybe she needs her space, maybe I do, maybe it's the day of the week, whatever. And so while, you know, him being like, I'm not going to come on Friday and maybe we'll avoid a fight is ridiculous, at the same time, I'm like, well, I want the best for them. So like, crazier things have worked.
Yeah, I think sometimes like you might need a break from your partner.
Well, I would.
But it's also like, if you know Carl and you feel like Carl is an avoider, because so many people feel like they shouldn't get married, they're not going to be like, this is a great idea, because they don't want the relationship to work out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it depends on how you look at it. Carl is trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and that fucker just won't fit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's just remove the game for a second and then we'll play again tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it on Friday,
yeah.
but we'll try on Saturday mm-hmm. and we'll try to figure it out. And it seemed to work in terms of like, people need a break.
Yeah.
It's like people need a break from each other. And if you're at a point where you can't see each other, maybe take the night off.
Yeah.
And also, if you're getting married to this person in 2 months and you don't have a great record of them with them of being able to fight well, or at least figure out where the fight went terribly awry, that's not great if we're hiding from future fights.
Yeah, you can't be up there doing your vows like, I, Carl, take you, Lindsay, just not on Fridays. Like, I don't know that that's the way we're going to work this into here.
Yeah, it's not great. I appreciate
the creative thinking. Let's put it that way.
And also, their relationship isn't always dire. We're seeing a certain perspective and we know the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we didn't know the ending, oh God, I hope I wouldn't be like, this is great. But, you know, there is a sense here, the doom is attached to the fact that we understand that they didn't get married, and thank mm-hmm. God for that. But it's not like we are putting in the kind of like trying to make this thing work that they are doing in real time. And I do believe that these two people love each other. They were really good friends for a number of years. And I don't want to come out of this being like, Lindsay's a piece of shit. Yeah, I don't believe that. And I think people have redeeming qualities, and she has been in positions where she's been treated really poorly, down to your core, with family dynamics in a way that she didn't deserve. And if you feel like your family didn't, like your mom did not love you and did not treat you well, how are you going to be able to recognize that?
Mm.
Like, and what does me treating someone well look like?
Mm.
Like, she's been through a lot. And also, that doesn't give a person the right to just constantly cash a blank check.
Mm. The other thing that can be hard too, if you're, you know, going through a not great time in your relationship, then you're coming to this house and you're seeing Paige and Craig, who again are like making out every second.
So fucking cute. I love them so much.
And even the Sierra and West, who are like clearly like flirting, and to know like we don't have any of that in our relationship.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's, it's being pointed really out tough to you. You know, it's probably, there's comfort in the Kyle and Amanda of it all, but like,
for real.
But you know, that's just another aspect of like it being a reminder. You can't really escape it.
I just can't get over, and maybe this is unfair, but again, welcome to AGN Tip. I just can't get over the positioning of this being a blindside. I just can't get over it. And it sucked, and it's just the timing of it was so bad. It never should have gone on this long. Like, the fact that she was at a bridal shower, it's so fucking humiliating, and I feel terribly for her with that. I really, I feel bad for both of them. The difficulty is, it was like a mass majority response in a way that was like trying to be supportive. It was supportive, but like this mass response of like, Carl did the wrong thing. And then to watch us go through a summer of him being told he was doing the wrong thing and then have thousands of people telling you you did the wrong thing. He was so withdrawn at BravoCon. And I get it. I would be too. I would be like nervous of how this was going to go. It's just tough. Like he's not, I don't want to like infantilize him at all. He's responsible too. He was responsible for, we're talking about like, you know, end this now before you get married. Cause you, I think it was Paige that said that, cause you don't want to be going through a divorce 2 months in. Yeah. It's so much worse. And she's 100% right. And also he could have ended this a lot sooner. He was trying to make it work, but he also played an active role in this toxic relationship continuing. It's not just on Lindsay. Like, it's just like,
totally.
There's that too. It's so, and it's tough because it's like Potomac's on right now and I'm excited to unpack the reunion, but we're recording a tip, you know, on a day that AG usually comes out. And AG is like, you know, what I love is Housewives. There's going to be a lapse in having Housewives content. Mm-hmm. I am going to be doing more Housewives style episodes, but I also really enjoy these kinds of conversations still in the Bravo universe because it's exactly what I like to talk about. And we are being really, really well fed. We really are.
It's kind of a miracle that sort of as the Scandoval of it all was sort of dying down, the Lindsay and Carl of it all was ramping up. It's happening. It's all happening.
I just don't know how the reunion is gonna go, and I love that the women are supporting, like Lindsay deserves to have support. I don't know what ownership looks like from Lindsay's eyes.
No, it's not. I'm not counting on that. But I just think what you said is what sums it up best, which is it's both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It is both of them. And I think, the Carl, people are, I think now that we're seeing what we're seeing, people are certainly softening to Carl's perspective and being like, oh gosh, you know, but at the same time, like him asking for the ring back and like things like that, both of them are responsible. They are both responsible. And I would just hope that the reunion is both of them. I don't think it should be a pile on for either. You know, like I think it takes two to tango. And so like, it's just this is both of you.
Do we want to talk about the ring? Because you're crossing right into some tough territory for me. This is some tough terrain.
Let's go.
So he was on Watch What Happens. Mm-hmm. I just saw the clip because I'm extremely behind on Watch What Happens. But he was on Watch What Happens and was like, he did sort of a, apologies, but like he did sort of a version of like Erica Jane when she used to talk about the earrings of like, listen, I'm just going by the law. Yeah. I'm not in control.
Okay.
My lawyers are just choosing to appeal things left and right. It's not up to me.
Officer Carl. We didn't know you were such a man of the law.
It's not up to me. And then Carl goes and Watch What Happens. He's like, it's the law. Yeah. I'm just doing what the law says. It's like that's because he is right and it is the law. And also if someone broke up with me, I get it. It's like it's a conditional gift. It's conditional upon you getting married. Mm-hmm. And also like he is paying for their apartment. He hasn't lived there since they broke up. They're in a $14,000 a month apartment. That's such a dumb decision for them to have made to sign that lease. That's nuts. Money for rent in New York. I can almost guarantee they're not making enough money which to pay that. So it's like we're making choices left and right here that aren't entirely making sense. But I mean, I get it. I stand. So it's like with the diamond, it's like, I don't want someone taking my ring. I want to fucking sell that shit and, you know, move to France. Like I don't, but also it didn't work out. And he is like, liable for the lease, but he is doing the gentlemanly thing of not doing what Sandoval is doing. You know, like,
well, he's paying for the lease from the money. He probably cashed the ring in, and that's how he's
paying
for the lease.
That is, you know what? Yeah. That's a good point, too. But, like, what do we do about the ring?
I see both sides of it in that if I were her, yeah, I would want to sell that and I would take myself and my friends on a vacation. And I see his side where he's like, well, this didn't work out, so I'm going to have that back. And you also locked me into, I mean, he made a decision as well as a grown adult, but like we're also locked into this lease. And so like, what's fair is fair kind of thing.
They're also, they have to be in so much debt from the wedding. And they didn't get a wedding special episode. That didn't happen. You know that shit was going to be filmed.
Yeah, that hurts harder than having to give the ring back.
Is we didn't get the happily ever after on TV?
Yeah.
Or we didn't get that money?
Both.
Because you're probably spending a ton of fucking money. Look at any housewife at any time.
Clear about that then. If they were going to have a special, then they are not losing money on the wedding because that was being paid for by Bravo.
It might not have been paid for by Bravo. I don't know how much of it would have been paid for by Bravo versus Bravo writing them a check and they are making decisions about how they want to spend it. But if you're spending a certain amount of money, I think sort of similar to the lifestyle that they're living, because there's a reflection of that for you on TV.
Yeah, they weren't sparing expenses on this wedding.
Right. And you don't need to be on TV to spend money that you don't have. I mean, hello, we're in the Clofus. Like, you know, you don't need to do that, especially in a wedding. Like, that's the thing with weddings is that they get so fucking expensive. Crazy. And then you get caught up in the cycle of like, but it's supposed to be a certain way. It's supposed to be the best day of my life. So I need everything to be the best that exists to support the best day of my life. So I don't know how much of that is because of the TV show, but I'm sure that had an impact in some of the decisions that they were making. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting that money back. And you just spent a ton of fucking money on this wedding that didn't happen, as did, by the way, your family and friends. Mm-hmm. I mean,
where was it supposed to be?
Mexico. It was a fucking, and I bet it would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a bunch of the family and friends went to Mexico for the wedding because they couldn't get out of their, the like contract that they had for the fucking room rate or whatever. I'd be really pissed.
Wouldn't you go still, though? I would have
100%. Gone. I mean, I bet it was so much fun. Lindsay went. Didn't she go? Oh, no. Sorry.
She went on her bachelorette.
She went on her bachelorette. Yeah. Apologies. Other family, like, I think Carl's mom went. I don't begrudge her for that. You do you. I would have gone. I bought this expensive trip.
Yeah, I probably would have gone.
100% I would have gone. That's the quickest thing that I would say yes to.
Yeah.
Or no to in all this, 100% would say yes.
I do want to give her some props, though. The Hub House in Nashville looks awesome. I want to stay there.
Yeah, so now she has a stream of income, also an investment. But like, I think that's super smart.
Yeah, I hope I didn't say anything on here already that would
jeopardize you staying there.
Yeah.
Do you have to be engaged to stay there? No, we can just go party.
No, I think it's just like, I think if you're going to Nashville for the weekend, you can just like rent it, can't you?
I've never been to Nashville.
Oh,
I just assumed because Nashville to me is like Bachelorette Central.
Yeah.
And I don't really ever want to go on a Bachelorette, to be honest. Not for me, not for anyone else. I don't ever want
to
do
you
it.
You don't have to go on a Bachelorette to go to Nashville.
I want
to
go. Okay, I want to go on a trip.
You should.
I'll go on a trip with girlfriends.
Yeah, because.
And guy friends.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I would say avoid the typical Bachelor, Bachelorette activities. Like there's those stupid things like the pedally bus things that
I like doing touristy things.
You don't need to do that. And then there's like a random, like you're basically in the back of a truck and like they're blasting like Nelly songs and you're riding down the street and people are just like, why are you doing
funny.
That? Well, then I would embrace it.
If I'm gonna do it, if I'm going to Disney, I'm gonna go on a ride. You know what I'm saying?
There's so much more
I just don't want to go to Disney.
Fair.
But if I'm there, I'm gonna go all in. 100%. Okay. I think that's really funny. I'm always gonna say yes to a joke.
There's a great I mean, the music scene is incredible. You can go in any bar and there's live music and it's an awesome experience in that way. There's no vegetables. They're illegal there. So you can eat a lot of like...
But I'm a vegetarian. How's that going to go?
I don't know what you're going to eat. There's fries. Do you eat fries?
Yeah, but I don't want that for every meal, just every other.
I ate almost every single form of potato when I was there.
Potatoes are like, at the core of my love.
Tots, fries, all of it.
Yeah.
Tater tots.
They had tots?
Well, they have tots in Nashville. They have tots in Nashville. They do have good, like, because it is such a scene now, you can get, you know, a nice cocktail and like it's, you can do it as fancy or as not fancy as you want. it gets hot as hell in the summer. But well, it's a, definitely fucked. Like a if you're looking for a nice little 48-hour jaunt, like it's a place worth visiting.
Well, Lindsay, if you're listening, and I truly hope you are not, there's no chance that you are.
We'd love to come to the Hub House.
But now we're asking essentially for a promo is what we're asking for.
Because like I'm not going to discount code.
I wonder how expensive it is.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, get your money.
Listen.
But don't get my money.
I mean, listen, live your best life.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come out of this so much, obviously, so much stronger as people than they were before. Potentially lessons learned on both sides. And, you know, Carl is no longer Lindsay's responsibility and Lindsay is no longer Carl's. And there's so much good in that.
I think this is going to, I would hope, in some way, this is a very eye-opening time for the two of them and for others around them. I think Paige and Craig are probably taking some notes and watching how this has not only played out, but what the reaction to things have been. So I like to look at this as we're all learning from this experience. It's a learning experience for us all. And I hope Lindsay and Carl are both equally blamed and equally given grace in this situation. How about that?
What a great transition to an episode that we are about to record. So on that note, Leah Palmieri, tell the tippers, the AGs, where they can follow you on social. Anything else you want to promote?
I want to promote my tagline that I wrote for...
I forgot. Okay, because... This one over here wrote tagline, but it's tip, so we don't do a tagline.
Yeah, but
at
I
the
just
start.
Don't want to get it.
That's
out
the
there.
Thing that we missed from this.
Yeah,
that
that's
is what
okay.
that is the you know. But also, you get that amazing T. Kyle composed intro, which we love.
I saw T. Kyle a couple weeks ago. It was the real thrill. It was a real thrill.
I saw T. Kyle. We went to drinks in Paris.
Oh, that's right.
I was drunk.
Amazing,
because I had come from a tasting at Frenchy.
I saw him just before your trip, and so we were talking a lot about Paris. But yes, I love all of this very much.
What is your summer house? Because you said it was a summer house kind
of
theme.
This is a summer house theme, yeah.
What is your summer house themed Housewives tagline, Leah Palmieri?
I'm very much from the East Coast, but I'm into West.
Oh my God.
Had to just get that into the world.
You know he's got to be a good time.
I,
you know,
we didn't even
everything.
Talk about the West and Jesse Solomon of it all, but like
either, but obviously West, but either
brought the two of them, the vibe they are bringing to all of it. I'm here for.
I am. So, but you know, he's as I am. I'm actually younger than him. I think he's 28 years old.
Oh,
and since
that's
I am
exactly my range. So
is it? About that.
I'm not mad at a 28 year old.
Really?
He's a mature 28.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know. I do know. It's, you know,
my rule is
when the lights go out.
My rule is you just have to be a millennial. So that means born.
Is he?
Yeah, that's is millennial.
It, talk about a tater tot. That's like the tot style age.
Up until born in 1996. So
and he was 95? I'm not doing math. The math ain't mapping. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, this is for West and all. But you can find me at Little Leap is my handle. So feel free to, I mean, slide into the DMs, I guess, but with nice things to say.
You're 28.
At Little Leap on Instagram.
And your name is a directional sign.
Yeah. Well, wow. Not all of them.
And I thought his name was Wes at the beginning.
Yeah, they made it very clear that there is a T on the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was because I was catching up late after the season started, when I was like watching all the episodes, and I thought it was Wes. So I was like, oh, I have a crush on Wes, when I was like seeing him on social. And then I started, I was like, oh, it's West.
Yeah.
Enunciation is key,
but also just the whole thing about him is he's bringing the exact right of seriousness, which is very little to this whole thing.
But that's serious. He's earnest. He's earnest.
Yeah.
Need earnest.
Very earnest.
We need earnest.
Very earnest.
God.
And just sees the humor in it and is a gentleman and still likes to have a good time.
I'm going to say something that you might not agree with. Ooh. I think he's a little bit of a seasonal Christopher Manzo. I think he's a little bit of a summer house Chris Manzo. He's the Chris Manzo for the Hamptons.
I don't disagree.
That's why I love him.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of people are coming around
to why
I'm obsessed with Chris Manzo when they see West.
Right? Are people not obsessed with Chris Manzo?
I don't know. They just like, they laugh a lot when I say how obsessed I am with him. And I'm like, is it funny?
No, there's you're right. There's exactly that same kind of vibe.
Maybe it's because it's a pullback from the past, that it's so much of the past. But I wouldn't, you know, when Chris Manzo type, I'm okay with it.
Great.
I won't turn that down. Thank you so much.
How old is he? He's older than West.
Yeah, he's in his 30s. Yeah.
He's safely.
He's what some people might call an adult.
Listen, adults? How many adults do you know that are worth your time?
I know.
Not many.
A lot of them that are not.
Yeah.
So there we go on that. Yeah, I wouldn't turn down because I am younger than him because he's 28.
I thought you were 26.
I am.
21? How 26?
I am
whatever
26.
You, yeah,
there you
go.
So
we can't be friends because you're not a millennial.
Am I not? What am I, Gen
no,
Q
be,
in that? What the fuck is it? P? What? I don't even understand the letters.
You'd be Gen Z.
Ugh. Great. Well.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God. I guess I need to be more careful with what I say on the pod because that's their number one concern. Listen, I support all people in all generations.
Oh.
And no, so many people I do not support. But what are we talking about? Did you tell people where to follow you on social? You did.
Yeah,
this is
little
a nuts.
Leap. Little Leap.
You know what? This was one of my favorite episodes.
Was
to
it?
This was really was. I was thinking about that while I was recording. I was like, this was really fun.
Wow. Thank you. I had an amazing time.
Well,
so
I hope that people on social, when they follow me at Instagram, at Dame Galley on social, share hopefully some positive reactions to this episode because I thought it was very nuanced, very interesting, very dynamic. I had fun.
Less controversial than last time.
We didn't even talk about West. Oh, my God. What does that mean? Whoa. That was like a CRM move.
We didn't talk about Austin.
But the fact that I said West when I meant Austin, thank God I did that and not Sierra.
She's
smarter than I am. Yeah. She knows. But like, I hate that they're being compared. And it's, and I also hate that Sierra was treated the way that she was. We didn't even talk about that. But like, I think that West is her happily ever after, just in terms of like having a lovely time this summer. We don't know what, but I also would be extremely into them dating. If it can't be me, really, and Sierra is having such a good summer. We didn't even talk about Sierra.
No, I know.
You know, we're supposed to wrap, but like she's having such a good summer and the costume outfit. She's so funny.
Incredible.
She looks incredible.
Season.
She's so beautiful.
She really is.
She's a nurse and a model. And someone looking for love.
Yeah.
And love's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I mean, queen. Queen energy.
Absolute queen.
I wonder how she's going to be at the... I want to see her in more of the conversations with Paige, Amanda, and Linz. She just wasn't in the room. She was just wasn't in the room.
Look, she's having a great time.
She's having a great time.
I don't want her bogged down by anything less than...
She doesn't need to deal with that shit.
Fun, flirty,
she deserves.
Fabulousness. Yeah.
And the fact that he, again, we can't start with this, but it's just, Austin just treated her so poorly. And
he fumbled the bag is just
intentionally
the nicest way of putting it. But
there's just a lot there to unpack. You're going to have to come back on Tip ASAP because we didn't even start that conversation.
I'm ready to have it when you are.
And the timing of Austin being a part of this episode, knowing that you were coming over to record. I mean, that to me was very funny.
That's
we didn't know,
fate, baby.
That is fate. We didn't know that was going to happen when we scheduled this. And I had a laugh. So follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. New Patreon Satchel Spectacular is up this weekend with all of your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives. I think we do have some Summer House, but a bunch of different franchises represented with certainly a focus on all things HW. So join the Andy's Girls Patreon. Number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Leah, such a pleasure, such a thrill.
Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Oh my God, putting a little spring in my step to borrow from another season and talking about HSH. I can't even figure it out, the letters and the words. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.